and, you know, hard work and things like that. It is hard work sometimes. Some people aren't that helpful to you as a mentor. I'm choosing my words carefully there, because it is a two-way street. They've got to want it. And we had a discussion just as a group before we started, just to recap on how the first month had gone for this team. And I was just saying to the guys, you know, mentoring isn't an option. It isn't a do a module, and then if you want to be mentored, be mentored. That's not what God has given us at all. It's do the module, and you will be mentored. You know, if they're going to grow, then someone's got to water the plants. And that's really what mentoring's about. It's about watering the plants and helping that plant grow. Next slide, please, Daz. Carolyn did these for me, bless you. And I asked her to get me ducks flying in a V.
You didn't say ducks.
All right. Anytime, Daz. Just.
Yeah, well spotted,
Doc. It's the last time I buy you breakfast and get it for free. That's meant to be a load of ducks flying in a V. But you get the idea, don't you?
Yeah. It
would be better with ducks.
Send your pictures over.
And where this comes from is Martin and I were in a car going to Sheffield, and we were stuck in a traffic jam. And while we were in this traffic jam waiting, we saw this flight of ducks. Almost lost, really. They were going round and round in circles until they formed a V, and then they just raced away. And ducks migrate like that, don't they? They travel thousands of miles in that formation. And there's always somebody at the lead, and that's Martin. But then everybody else slots into position. What we're not going to do in this church is build a hierarchy, a massive organisation chart that has box after box after box after box. Oof. I'm in the ninth level of this church. That's not how it's going to work here. It works at other churches, and they bottleneck. They just bottleneck with a few people at the top doing everything. That's not what's going to happen here. So if that first arrow is Martin, and the second and third one's me and Stuart, and the fourth and fifth one's Andy and Paul, there's no hierarchy there. And from time to time, when a duck gets tired, it moves in behind one of the others, and they give it a bit of wind resistance. That's how geese and ducks fly. That's how geese fly. You know, they have that protection for others. And as different people join this church, they just join onto that V. Does that make sense? So if somebody was to walk through that door now, tomorrow they'll be on that V. You know, that's how it's working, really. There's no hierarchy. We're not on some power-crazed mission. We're here to grow a church. And, you know, in 10 years' time, I'd like that V to go through the floor and be right up to the ceiling of people joining on. And that's really what we're aiming for. We don't see ourselves as you know, these convoluted leaders. We just want to grow a church where everyone has their place in it. Does that make sense? So let's talk a little bit about why some people don't mentor. Next slide, please, Daz. Why some people don't mentor? First point, insecurity. It's not going to work. Excuse me. It's not going to work as a mentor if you're insecure. If you feel too threatened by the person sat opposite you, it just isn't going to work. This group said the mentee was more advanced or more mature than the mentor. It's interesting. It's interesting, especially when we handpick who the mentor is. You know, I think anyone who feels like that, anyone who thinks I'm more advanced than the person opposite me, I think they need to go and do Route 61 again, personally, because you can learn from anyone. If you're hungry to advance, loads of people can give you help. And I think it is utterly disrespectful of a mentor if a mentee applies that attitude to the whole process, especially when a mentor gives up their time and their life to give that other person some help. Do you know what I mean? So as mentors, you deserve their respect. You absolutely deserve their respect. But don't be too threatened. Secondly, get rid of your ego. All right? Don't have an ego. Have you heard the story about Hitler's driver? Hitler was a fairly small bloke. Do you know how he selected his driver? He ensured that because of his ego, the person selecting the people to be interviewed for his driver ensured that no one was anywhere near the height of Hitler. And the guy that he eventually chose had to drive his car with blocks on his feet. And he stayed as his driver for many, many years because he fit Hitler's ego. Get rid of your ego. We've all got one. It's just some of us have got a bigger ego than others. If you've got an ego as a mentor, you'll hit problems. Get rid of your ego, because it's not about you, it's about them. What's the next one, Daz? Inability to discern success for others. We're asking our mentors to look at the person opposite them and picture what they could be. Are you looking at the next preacher in the church? Are you looking at a missionary? Are you looking at the next apostle? Are you looking at the next youth worker? Are you looking at the next worship leader? What is it in front of you? And some people struggle because they can't see what that person's going to be. They can't discern what that person's success looks like. There's reasons for this, and I'll tell you about that in a second. What's the next one, Darren? Understanding true success. People that don't make it as mentors do not understand what true success is. Callan Hightower said, "The true measure of your worth includes the benefits others gain from your success." The best leaders make a difference in other people's lives. It's true. And so, really, if you're out on your own success party, you're going to struggle as a mentor. You're going to struggle. Some people will get caught up in, I need to be a good mentor, more than what's happening for the person opposite me. Does that make sense? It's not about you. It's about the other person. It's all about the other person. Successful mentoring is 100% about them and nothing about you. Does that make sense? And then the next one, Darren? Lack of training. they make poor mentors because they don't have any training. Hopefully tonight we'll give you a bit. I can't guarantee you that it's like a matrix injection into your neck and now you can fly a helicopter. It isn't, but it is a bit. It's a bit to help you. And then the last one, Darren? Oh, that's it. Right. Thanks, Daz. So it's about people. Church is a really complicated organisation because it's full of people. In fact, I've worked for many organisations that said if we didn't have employees and we didn't have customers, it would be a fabulous place to work. But people are complicated. We're complicated. We're complicated, and we have needs. We really do have needs. And the first need, Daz, is that they want to feel worthwhile. People actually want to feel worthwhile. They want to feel like their life has a purpose. And many people, unfortunately, get treated like a baby's nappy in the world. And so they don't feel worthwhile. They don't feel like their life has a purpose. The next one is that everyone responds to encouragement. Answer this for yourselves if you will, but I've never met anyone yet that doesn't respond more positively to encouragement than me giving them a hard time. Or am I just on my own with that one? People respond to encouragement. Even the most difficult, the hardest, the most stubborn respond. I've been working with an engineering company in Derby, and the electrical manager, the electrical engineering manager, is a piece of work. He's been in the business for 40 years. He holds all the power in his head. He's got, part of the reason I'm working with them is he's going to retire soon, and nobody knows what he does. And we're desperately trying to get all of this information out of his head so that other people can take over his job when he leaves. And for years, he sat back and thought, I've made it, and I don't care about anybody else. And they've tried, his bosses and his bosses' bosses have tried to get this guy to respond to them, and he just tells them to naff off, basically. And part of the reason that I've gone in is to try and neutrally extract some stuff out of his brain. And the first thing that I did was compliment him. When I looked at his CV, I said to him, I just can't believe how much you've done. And he melted. There and then, he melted. Because I respected him. Straight away, I was positive about him. And I was like, flipping heck, I've never met anyone who's worked on that before. What was that like? And he'll wax lyrical. It's all I can do to shut him up these days. But it's all because people respond to positivity. What's the next one, Darren? People are actually naturally motivated. Some more than others, but there's an element of motivation in all of us. It's just that some people have been so battered with life that they've had all of that sucked out of them, really. They're naturally motivated. It is in our psyche to progress. It is. We do. So on the basis that people are naturally motivated, you've got something to work with there. What's the next one? Before you can start to mentor anybody, they've got to get you. I'll use Laura as an example, because it's probably far removed from Laura. But if Laura was a really nasty piece of work, Tom tells me she is. If she was a really nasty piece of work, what's the, in a percentage, up to 100%, what's the percentage likelihood that Laura's going to get any kind of progress with the person she's mentoring? Less than 10%, probably. You've got to have a relationship with people. You can't just dive in to mentoring people. And you can't even say, I've been appointed as your mentor. That means nothing to people. You haven't earned it. You haven't earned being a mentor. You've got to earn it. And the way you earn it is by letting people get you. So in some senses, you need to give them a bit of you. You know, they need to understand who you are and where you're coming from. Open up to me, Mark. Tell me everything. Tell me all your fears. I know nothing about you, Ian. So why would I do that? Now, some will. Some will. But most people have got to get you. They've got to get you. No, that's not a sign. Hiya, Sharon.
So, obviously that has to be at the beginning of the relationship, because before that you've been repeatedly saying it's not about us. So for us to, you know, for them to get to know us, it is going to be a bit about us, really.
It is, but not for your purpose. This isn't, let me tell you all about me. This is, what do you need to know about me? Does that make sense? You're not bragging or boasting. You're just giving them information about you. What's the next one, Darren? There isn't. Okay. So I want to try and give you a few tips about how to think like a mentor. All right. This is how mentors think. Firstly, they commit to developing others. If we've asked you to be a mentor and you don't want to be, don't be. Don't be a mentor if you don't want to be. It won't work. Feel free to say, I don't want to be. All right? It's all right? Because it won't work if you're not committed to developing other people. If you can't actually look at the person opposite you and want them to grow, don't do it. Don't do it. It won't work. It'll be a car crash. What's the next one, Darren? Don't spread too thin. Don't do too many. Don't do too many people. I think I've said, don't do any more than four. I know. It doesn't work, though. You did about seven, didn't you?
Six.
Did it work? The success was limited. It doesn't work. If you do too many people, it's disrespectful to them, actually. Because you haven't... And it's disrespectful to you. You haven't got the time to do that many. Never take on too many people. Just don't. It won't work. We can get through it, but mentoring isn't about getting through it. It's like Christmas, isn't it? People say, if I can just get through Christmas, why don't you enjoy Christmas? Mentoring isn't about getting through it. It's about enjoying it. So don't spread yourselves too thin. And I've deliberately said, no more than four. And if we can, less than four. Develop a relationship first. You need to really care about the other person. You do. If you have no respect and you don't care for the other person and you're not interested in their growth or their development, why are you mentoring them? It will not work. Don't do it. If they annoy you and you don't like them and they irritate you and you can't stand their company, have I touched a nerve? It really isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. I'm only being honest with you. I mean, some of this... is not helpful to us as leaders in terms of we want everyone mentored, and then we've got, then I'm putting up walls that say, here are the reasons why it's not going to work. It's not about ticks in boxes, this. Well, we've given him a mentor. Why isn't he grown? Well, we've given him a mentor. It doesn't work like that. Mentoring does not work like that. Just allocating someone a mentor does not make it successful. If we're going to make it successful, you've got to care for the person. Seriously, guys, if you don't care for that person, would you just come and tell us that it's not you? Because it's not going to work. It isn't going to work. And it's unconditional help. It's like giving your child unconditional love, isn't it? Don't expect anything back from the person that you are. Maybe a cup of tea. I've mentored a few people in my time. No names, no pack drill. But for the right money, I'll tell you who it was. And when I got there, this person said to me, so I've got to buy you a drink, have I? Thanks for your respect, was what went through my mind. But it's unconditional help. You're in this for them. You're not in it for you. This is a sacrifice, which is why it's such an honouring thing, which is why I respect you so much if you're going to mentor, because it's selfless, and at times it's thankless, at times. We can say to all of the guys that come through Route 61 and S61, do thank your mentor, won't you? But some of them don't even think to do that. But you know what?
I'll do it now.
Do you know what? And take them with you. I just wanted to give you an example of of four ways that you can take them with them. As you develop a relationship with people, you can start to do things with them on a one-to-one basis. If I give you an example, Chris Dodsworth. I mentored Chris. It was a disaster. He's such a sinner. But what I wanted to do with Chris was I wanted to get him to that last line of you do it. Because the first, when you're teaching anyone to do something, and Martin Ruddick is brilliant at this, and he's done it with Stuart, and he's done it with me, and he's doing it with Paul, and he's doing it with Andy, is if he wants you to learn how to preach, he'll take you with him, and he'll preach. I do it, and you watch me, and then you'll eventually understand what I'm trying to do. I do it, because I understand. Second step is, he still does it, but I watch. I watch, and as I watch, I'm shown what's happening. The third step is, you do it. So when Stuart was learning how to preach, at some point, that scary time came when Martin said to him, you're preaching tonight, and I'm going to be there. All right? The purpose of that is to coach the individual. You did absolutely fantastic, Stuart. Went on a little bit, maybe, and probably one story too many. Oh, childhood flashback. But that's coaching. You know, that's coaching, and you'll never go back and do that. I'll share a story with you. I went to Estonia with Martin. Chris was there, and Martin, and you were there, Terry. And this one night, Martin said to me, I want you to, when I finish preaching, I want you to come on, and I want you to give words to people. It's like, right, okay. So I came on, and I just completely went miles over what he wanted me to do, and I was reading from the Bible, and I was doing loads of stuff. And the next morning, Martin sent me just a quick chat about what you did last night, and I thought, oh, no. And he said, you know, I asked you to give words to people. I said, yeah. He went, why didn't you just give words to people? And inside, I'm cringing, because I thought, yeah, I've overdone it. But that's coaching. Coaching is the person watching you and then giving you feedback. That's what mentors do as well. And then the last step is coaching done. Do it yourself. We release you. We release you to go and do it now. And that's where we want to get with people. And you play that part. You have some of that part. You can do that with them. You can do that in a coaching setting. Yeah? It's over a year. It's over a year, isn't it? Give you an example.
Would it involve, if you can
that's entirely up to you, but all we're saying is 2 hours a month. Let me give you an example. A61, Holy Spirit month. You sit down with somebody and they say to you, I still can't speak in tongues. And you say to them, okay, this is how I do it. Alright? You have a go. Alright, now move on to another letter. Now move on. You've got it? Yay! What a fantastic mentoring session. Alright? Just as an example. Alright? But it's a lifelong journey as well. And in that year, I'm looking for you to try and just encourage people. You know, encourage them. So someone comes forward, and you know, who's got something from the Lord? Alright? Vicky bounds forward and says, I've got something, alright? And she says it, alright? And 50% of it is fantastic, and the other 50% is absolute rubbish. It could happen, and it does happen, alright? If you were her mentor, I would expect you to go to her either after the meeting or at some point and say, you made some excellent point, that some of that was brilliant. But just a couple of things about one or two other things. Do you see what I'm saying? What's the next one, Darren? Put fuel in the tank. You're topping the person up all the time. I love the phrase watering the plants. All we're asking you to do is water the plants. We've already said that people respond to positivity and encouragement. We've already said that people are genuinely motivated towards improving and growing. So just water the plants. Just water the plants. I mentored Tony Howitt. And in one of his mentoring sessions, I don't mind telling you this, in one of his mentoring sessions, I said to him, what do you want to do? He said, I'd love to get involved in praying for people about healing. So one Sunday night, right at the beginning of the healing thing, I just went to Tony, and he went, and I went, I just went, come on. Anyway, he came, sat down, he went, oh no. I went, just sit there for a second. Have you got a word? He went, no. I went, okay, just sit there then. Starts talking to Martin, to my right. And after 10 seconds, he went, I have got a word. I went, go and give it then. And he was spot on. Put fuel in the tank. What's the next one, Daz? Stay with them until it can swim. I know so many people that go, I knew he'd drown. Now, that happens in business all the time. Don't do it in church. Don't do it in church. It's bad. It's destructive. Don't let them sink. All right? You've got to care for them. If you really care for them, you wouldn't let them drown. And the last one, Daz, clear the way for them. Make opportunities. Make opportunities for them. You might not realize it, but you have a lot of influence in the church, which is why we're asking you to be mentors. So if somebody really wants to do something, pull some strings. Make things happen. Have a word with someone. Clear the way for them. Does that make sense? If somebody really wants to give a word, but they're absolutely petrified to do it, pull some strings. Make it happen for them. Work with them on it. And then the last bit is that you say to them, now mentor others yourself. We're trying to, what is it? We say disciple making disciples, don't we? Well, mentor making mentors. What's the next slide, Daz? There's two types of people that get mentored. There are followers. That's people that will never really be leaders. All right? And you could be a leader with three people following you. That's fine, because our vision is for everyone to attain the highest level that they can. Now, for some, that level might be here, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. We don't want them to drown, do we? We want them to achieve their level. Some, it's up here, and some, it's way above that. One of the challenges as a mentor myself is, what if he's better than me? Because the true mentor, who cares, wants to see them far succeed you. I've said to everyone in our worship band, I can't wait for the day when some phenomenal worship leaders just take over. For one, I don't have to get here as early. But more importantly than that, I've got no blocking strategy at all. I just want the worship to be phenomenal in the church and for people to grow into it. The day that happens, I'm stepping aside and I'm letting people move in. Do you see what I'm saying? Just let them grow. But if we only mentor followers, we're not going to get very far. Because if we all only grow to this level, then that's the level we grow to as a church. Does that make sense? However, some of you, and you might not know it just yet, but you're probably going to mentor leaders. And that's why I need, and Stuart needs, and Martin needs, and this church needs you to recognise leaders. You need to pick a leader out. Because if you can find a leader, then that leader will go on to lead leaders and followers. Does that make sense? There's going to be gold nuggets coming through your mentoring. And we need them. If they're meant to be that high, then help them get that high. Does that make sense, Chris? Make it your priority to get them as high as you can. And you'll only do that when you care. You'll only do that when you care. But future leaders of our church are going to come through this process. They're going to come through this process. I can't wait. I wonder what it looks like in 10 years' time, 20 years' time. Do you need a wee?
I do. No, I've got the toilet.
We'll talk about you while you're away. There's three things I don't like about Rosie. Number one, she always needs a wee. Number two, bladder control. And number three, the noise. But you see what I'm saying? You're going to mentor people that are going to be reaching for the stars. It might not be here. It might be in another country. It might be in another church. Actually, get your head around that. If you genuinely care about that person, it might not even be for Amazing Grace. Isn't that interesting? What's the next one, Daz? Leaders who attract followers versus leaders who attract leaders. So you have a little word with yourself now. Which one of these are you? What's the first one, Daz? Leaders who attract followers. Well, that person needs to be needed. You're really insecure. Whereas leaders who attract leaders want to be succeeded. It's surprising who you'll attract, and it's surprising who you'll mentor. You know, sometimes we say to people, would you rather mentor him or him? Would you rather mentor her or her? And a lot of people will make a decision based on this. Because if you're a leader who attracts followers, it's generally because you need to be needed. I love leaders that attract leaders. Because leaders who attract leaders absolutely want them to succeed. Absolutely want them to succeed. What's the next one, Daz? Leaders who attract followers want recognition. Can you see how I've helped you? See how I've helped you? If it wasn't for me. Whereas leaders who attract leaders want to reproduce themselves. I was mentored brilliantly by a guy called John Turner. He's still my mentor in a work capacity sense. Even though I don't work with him or for him anymore, we meet twice a year for dinner. And at that, he'll say to me, how's your career going? And I'll say, well, you know, sir. And he'll be like, what are you doing that for? Wouldn't you much rather be doing something that makes you happier? And I do, and I'm earning more than he is now. I'm in better jobs than he is now. And he doesn't care at all. He's just happy that a guy that he took on at 16-year-old has made something of his life. Now, there's nothing spiritual in that, but you see what I'm saying? As a mentor, he did a great job with me. He took the flak sometimes when I made a mistake because he'd set it up. He created opportunities for me. He did some amazing things because all he wanted to do was pass on to me what somebody did to him when he was my age, because he had a brilliant mentor as well who did the same for him. And this guy's in his 70s now, but he still meets him for dinner twice a year. And this guy in his 70s says to him, oh, young John, he's in his 50s. Young John, how are you getting on? He's still mentoring. He'll mentor to the day he dies, this fella.
Young John. He's 50s, young
John. Because they focus on other people's weaknesses, Marion.
Ian, on that reproduction of yourself, but you don't mean like cloning.
Mark, we couldn't cope with two of you. In fact, we're struggling to cope with one of you. Could we have a half of you, please? No, it's not yourself. It's reproducing that mentoring experience. reproducing that positivity, that investment, that watering the plants, that experience of positivity. Yeah? Am I losing you? No? Leaders who attract leaders focus on other people's strengths. I could easily ask you now to write down 5 negative things about people you've mentored, and you could do it. In fact, that group were brilliant at negative things. All right? You need... Yeah, you need to focus on other people's strengths. There will be people in front of you who are hard work, but do you believe in them? Do you see the positives in them that you think, I know he's got all this baggage, I know she's got all of these issues, but if we can nail that, they're going to fly. They're going to absolutely fly. What's the next bit? Leaders who attract followers want to hold power. Stay beneath me. Stay beneath me, please. Remember your place. Just to remind you, there is no place in this church. There's just a whole load of people flying in the same direction. There's no hierarchy. There's no box to achieve. Oh, well, don't... You know, no. I'm more senior than you. So this isn't the kind of organisation we're trying to build. Because it's not an organisation. It's a church full of people. Leaders who attract leaders want to share power. Put to that spiritual power, if you will. If you've got power in the Holy Spirit, then you just want to share it. Oh, if you want to learn how to pray for the sick, you just do this. It's not, oh, let's wheel out the prayers. Let's wheel out the healers. Let's wheel out the preachers. That's all wrong. That's why churches stay small or bottleneck. Oh, well, we've got some healing going on. Well, wheel out the 2 guys that can heal then. It's nonsense. We want everyone to have that. Leaders who attract followers spend time with others. But leaders who attract leaders invest time with others. Don't just do a mentoring session. Have a mentoring session. Don't just do it and tick the box. Well, I've done that now. It's got to be meaningful. It's got to be meaningful. Is there one more, Darren? Yeah. Leaders who attract followers are good leaders. But leaders who attract leaders... are great leaders. Great leaders. And as a mentor, you're a leader. As a mentor, you're a leader. You wouldn't be sat here tonight if we didn't think you were leaders. Part of the reason is because you guys have been with us for ages. Most of you are originals, and those of you that aren't look like you were. But you're in a role of responsibility. Be a great leader. Be a great leader. When this church is a church of... I have no doubt about it. Thousands. How many leaders are we going to need? Hundreds of leaders. Hundreds of leaders. We are. You're going to need hundreds of leaders.
Be.
Now, Tom, get below me. Get below me. You're going way above your station here. Have you not listened to a word I've said? You've badly mentored him, Stuart, and I've got 9 other negatives for you as well. I see nothing good in you. Nothing. Thanks, Chris. Mentors who lead and attract followers experience some success, but leaders who attract leaders experience huge success. Huge success. Thanks, Daz. What's next? All right. What made the person... What made the person... That's mine and Darren's little secret code. What made the person you said your favourite teacher? It was a survey done in the US, actually. A survey of something like 15,000 high school students were asked, who is your favourite teacher? And when they gave their answers, the top answer was this one. Daz? They believed in you. Somebody had that over here. Yeah. Belief in me, someone said. Yeah. All right. Some of the other things are good, you know, respect, knowledge, etc. But what I found interesting there was a dinner lady believed in one of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She ain't got an O level in history, has she?
No.
But a dinner lady believed in someone in this room. The teacher that you loved. Believed in you. I was thinking about that last night, actually. Mine was a guy called Mr. Goodchild. And Mr. Goodchild was my last teacher in junior school before I went into senior school. And I remember him giving us a chat on the first day that we went into his class and then on the last day that we were in his class. And it was so amazing what he said, which was, I'm going to give you the best chance of being successful in your senior school. You know, just an awesome guy. You know, just a really, really believing teacher. He saw the good in everyone. He had his moments, like all teachers do with a class of 30 kids. But he believed in us. Believe in the people that you're mentoring. Or don't do it. Or don't do it. If you think that they are a failure, the chances are that that's what you're going to portray when you mentor them. So I just wanted to remind you that. What's the next one, Daz? Some mentoring tips, some practical stuff now. All right? So that's the philosophy. All right? It's not rocket science, but I just want you to know that's the foundation of it. So some quick mentoring tips. Don't do it on the hoof. Plan your date. So plan the session. And ahead of it, Daz, prepare for it. Review the module content. We had a conversation just before this session tonight where we said, do we as mentors need to know what the module content is? Absolutely. How can you mentor someone if you don't know what it is that they're involved with? Pray ahead of it. Pray ahead of your session. Don't just go blasted into it. Spend some time and pray about it. And get into the mentoring mode. It's not about me. 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 How are we doing, Mark? It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not. Tell me. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. Get into the mentoring mode. What else does? Listen 80% of the time. What have they got to say? You want them to do most of the talking. You do most of the listening. All right? Listen hard. Listen aggressively. Listen aggressively. And question their reasoning. Do it in an open style. Why did you feel like that? Oh, I hated that week. Okay. You can't do anything about that. But why? Why was it that you felt like that? Oh, that week was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. Well, what was it that made you feel like that? You know, questions how, why, what, who, and when are fantastic questions to get under the skin of people, you know. And then when someone has picked something up, well, how are you going to use it? What are you going to do with what you're learning? Fantastic, you've now learned how to speak in tongues. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Daz, make notes for your next session. Don't expect your memory to remember what happened 2 months ago. You will forget. One of the things that I did with Chris was I'd go back to him and say, at our last session, Chris, you said you would. And he'd go, oh, I haven't done any of that. No. But do you know what I mean? We set some things where he said he would do stuff and I would refer back to what we talked about. Or I'd say to him, you didn't enjoy that last month, Chris. How about this one? Has that been any better? Refer to your notes. You know, make some notes. Daz, set them targets. Set them a target. The more targets you set them, the more likely they are to go for it. And somebody once said to me, if you aim for the stars but only hit the trees, at least you took off. Yeah? At least you took off. And so what if they make a hash of it? They did it. And this is a church where you're allowed to make mistakes. Because every leader in this church has made loads of them. And what is it they say in Anna Ruddick's church in Sheffield? If a job's worth doing properly, it's worth doing wrong. Because if you get it wrong, you know how to get it right. And then do it right. And what's the next one, Darren? Explore potential ministries and serving opportunities. I'm going to give you a diagram in a second that I want you to have a look at. But it's about them getting the balance right between ministry and serving. Next one, Daz. General Patton said, never tell people how to do things. So as a mentor, don't tell them how to do it. Tell them what to do and they will surprise you. It's interesting, that, isn't it? Don't give them the answers. Encourage them with some options. Give them some options. Mentors don't tell people how to do it. Let them figure it out for themselves. Guess what? It's a two-way street. You're not living their life for them. They are. Does? And expect respect. You're a blessing. If they're not respecting you, stop mentoring them. Stop mentoring them. Don't waste your time on people who don't respect you. Stop mentoring them. They don't deserve it. They do not deserve to be mentored if they don't respect you. We're not afraid to lead in this church. And we're not afraid to say to people, that was bang out of order. You've just missed out on something. It's not harsh. It's just reality. They might get back on the ride again 6 months down the line or 3 months down the line. But we're not going to have our mentors abused. Just like we won't have our leaders abused. No one's abusing the leaders in this church. Oh, there's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. You've given up tonight and you're giving up your time to mentor. Then we want you to have respect from people. This is the... Thanks, Daz. This is a really helpful tool I've found. If that's the person in the middle that you're mentoring, the question that one of the questions that we're trying to get to is, how are you getting on with your ministry? What are those things that you feel God's calling you into? And how are you getting on with your serving? And it's a balance. And if that was a set of scales, I think there's a balance. So, Fred, we used to have a Fred, so I always like, I don't want to use it, but Fred says, well, I'm helping with the tea and coffee. Fantastic. He moves one step to the left. All right. And so what else? Oh, well, I'm part of the cleaning team. I come in every week and I do some cleaning. Fantastic, Fred. That's brilliant. What else? Well, I wash the windows every second week. Where is Phil Cartmill? I wash the windows every second week. All right. Fantastic. All serving, all helpful, but out of balance. If that was a set of scales, Keena, they'd tip, wouldn't they? They'd tip if he takes three steps to the left. What are you doing in your ministry? Well, if he didn't do any serving, but he was giving prophetic words every Sunday morning, and he was doing Bible studies on a Tuesday afternoon, and he was da-da-da-da, and da-da-da, it would tip the other way. And what we actually want for people is a balance of ministry and serving. Use that as a graphical tool when you sit down with people. And draw on it every month. Where are you? You know, we give you things. We ask you to measure their pulse. We ask you to measure how interested they were in it. We ask you to do those things. Use this. It's really simple, but it's really helpful. All right? And some people will say to you things like, oh, it's not my ministry. Well, explore it with them. If we are going to be a church of thousands, then people need to serve and minister. We need both. All right, Daz? Follow up. So check on them from time to time. Don't just let them drift. Yes, it is only a two-hour session, but you could always have 5 minutes cup of tea with them at a Sunday service or before the meeting on a night. Check up on them from time to time. Give them a hug. Encourage them. Don't just say, no, I'm your mentor for 2 hours every second month and then I'm aloof from you. It's not going to work. You know, have a relationship with these people. Pray for them during the month. I think it's really helpful if you could just grab 5 minutes with them one Sunday. Can I just pray for you? I know you're really trying to get into Acts. Let's just pray. God, will you just let the word of Acts come alive in this person's life right now? In Jesus' name. It's building that rapport. And then the next one, ask them how they're getting on with their goals, reading. You just prompt them all the time. You said you were going to start that book last week, Rosie. Did you manage? No, I haven't. So you have not bought it yet? You haven't bought it yet? All right. When are you going to buy it? When are you going to buy that book? You know, just chisel away. Just chisel, water the plants. Just chisel away at them. It's not a whip. It's a watering can. Daz, remain interested. Do you mind? So, Chris, let's set your four targets. And then Chris, Ian, you know, we were talking about that thing last week. Sorry, Chris, I'm way too busy for you. I'm not sure what you're on about. Remain interested. And then, so is there one more? Keep making opportunities for them. Stu, Keena wants to move in the prophetic. She's got a word. She's absolutely petrified. She's told me what it is, but she just won't come forward. And Stu being Stu would go, Okay, thanks for that. We're going to take a collection in a minute, but just before we do, Akina, come forward, love, because, you know, we want you to, you know what I mean? And you'll hate us for it, but you'll grow. But you will grow. And give balanced feedback. This is the last point. Give balanced feedback. Celebrate success. Akina, you did it. You got up and you gave that prophetic word. Fantastic. Well done. What a breakthrough. Brilliant. It was rubbish. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. But a couple of things just to, you know, you repeated yourself a few times and, you know, I'm sure God didn't speak to you for 35 minutes. You know, just that kind of thing. Have the hard conversations with them. Don't leave them without. There's a story of an American scientist who was the cleverest scientist that they had, and he was working for NASA. And he had a problem with personal hygiene. He was the brightest scientist that they had, and he was overlooked for promotion for 15 years. And in the 16th year, he defected to Russia. Years later, somebody said to him, "Why did you defect to Russia?" And he said, "Because people weren't using my talents, and I wanted to..." Well, defect is probably the wrong word. He worked for the... He went to work for the Russian science laboratories and stuff. And they said to him, "Why did you go?" And he said, "Because I was getting no opportunities." And a guy who knew him said, "You know why, though, don't you? You know why you never got promotions?" And he said, "No." He said, "Because you stink." And he said, "I don't stink." He said, "I used to stink. But when I went to this Russian laboratory, my manager sat me down on the first morning. He went, 'Brian, you're really bright, but you stink. Have a wash before you come to work every morning and use deodorant.'" And he said, "No one had ever told me that before." And I did. Now, I'm not saying that people have got body odor problems in the church.
Just don't go to Russia.
But have the difficult conversations with people. All right? Have the difficult conversations with people. Any questions?
Yeah. You keep mentioning that we're going to have 2-hour sessions every couple of months. Could you have a session once a month for an hour?
If that works for you.
Yeah.
If that works for you too. The only thing I would say on that is that you need to finish it. I'd rather you finish a session and do a review of the whole 4 weeks than have one in the middle of it.
Give some time to do the reading as well.
Do you get what I've just said there?
No.
So if you're doing a month on and a month off, which is why we're saying do it in the second month. And also, because we don't want your diary to be full every month with appointments. We want you to have a month off as well, from mentoring at least.
So I've got my mentor, and I haven't been mentoring her, which has been really out of order, because I've forgotten, it was just off my radar. Mm. Which sounds dreadful, doesn't it? Mm. So I'm carrying on mentoring her. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Just pay a bigger tithe. God will forgive you.
Yeah. I'll ask his forgiveness. And hers.
Just pick it. Start again. Start it all again. First thing, not being funny, and I don't apologise for not, you know. Just pick it up and start again. And start again. All right? Because that's what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to grow people. You know? I mean, honestly, it's practical things that stop the mentor in being successful. It isn't that, you know. Once you get into it, you get into it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, in one sense, they're quite closely linked, in one sense. But in another sense, they're quite different. For me, and feel free to jump in anytime. For me, if someone is doing something in the church that we as a senior leadership team are concerned with, we'll have a word. To the point that we'll go up to people and say, "Stop it," or "We're concerned," or "Can you have a think about this?" We do that. So some of that is discipleship, actually. We don't want to be heavy on discipleship. I've been in churches that are heavy on it. We don't want to be heavy, but we recognise danger. And if we see danger, we'll deal with it, you know, confidentially and without fuss. But that's discipleship. You know, we've had people come to us and say, I think this. And we, me and Stuart have said together, you're wrong. Actually, you're biblically, theoretically wrong in what you believe. That's more discipleship than mentoring, in truth. We're not asking you to be a senior leader of this church, Pippa. We're just asking you to encourage this person along the way. Which is why I would say to you as mentors, if you have an alarm bell about anyone, you don't have to deal with it. Not if you don't want to. If you want to, okay, but we're not asking you to do that. Just give it to us. We'll deal with it if if you're like flipping it. I've just uncovered this here, and it's either something I don't want or it's big. We're not asking you to take anything on like that. I think what I meant by that was, if let's just say that you sat down with somebody and said, how are you getting on with your Bible reading? And they said, I'm not really getting into it. I'm not really getting into Acts. You might do a bit of well, why is that then? Well, I've decided that, you know, once a week is about enough for me to read the Bible. Well, in truth, it isn't. And you could either leave that, or you might say, if you brushed your teeth once a week, do you think that they'd stay nice and white and shiny? Or do you think that maybe brushing them on a more regular basis would be better? Please do, yeah.
Well, for me, there is a big difference between discipleship and mentoring. so, for example, if Chris says, I've been praying, Stuart, and... And I really feel like I'd like to speak into my life and encourage you for some things. We would already have a really close brotherhood relationship. And if it was right, then I would say, okay, I'd probably say, well, I'll pray about it. If you think of discipleship as you've got somebody who's, you know, perhaps more mature, and the younger person comes to them and says, I want you to help me grow, I think that's discipleship. The mentoring is different because the team are picking who's being mentored by who. So in one church I was in, two young lads that were sort of on my heart came to me independently and said, we want you to disciple us. So I said, okay. And then the leader of the church was trying to get somebody else to disciple them. And I, with great confidence, said, you can, but it won't work, because it's, you know, that spiritual connection is discipleship, isn't it? But the mentoring is different. Mentoring is like encouraging, and it's only related to A61, really, isn't it, in the duration of A61. So you're encouraging somebody to engage in A61. So, as Ian mentioned about the reading, people don't read these days. Even Christians don't read very much, don't read the Bible very much. So you're kind of encouraging somebody into the reading, you know, the spiritual reading as well as the Bible, you know, the books as well as the Bible. You're encouraging them into that and become readers, so that, because if all of the people who go through A61 did all of the reading, they're going to be better off, aren't they? You know, they're going to know things for themselves from God and not be dependent on others. So to me, there's quite a big difference between the discipleship and the...
Don't get hung up on it, though. Don't get hung up on it, honestly. Don't. If you'll know when it's not a mentoring issue. Honestly, you'll discern it. You'll know when it's not a mentoring issue. And the other thing as well, just that has happened, is that if you start a relationship with somebody and it's going really well, I'm not telling you to turn it off at the end of A61. If you want to continue to have a relationship with somebody, there's no pressure from us to do so. But if it works for you and you have a cracking relationship, keep it going, if that's what you want to do. If it works for you both and you want to keep it going, keep it going. This could be a 10-year relationship you have with somebody. My boss has been, my ex-boss has been my mentor for over 20 years. I don't even work for the same company as him anymore, but he still chooses to do it. And I'm really grateful to him for doing that. So if you want to, you can. But we're not asking you to beyond that period of year 61. Any other questions on that? You asked two already, you don't get three.
You might be coming on to this, but I was thinking of some of the mentors here that have finished A61 that you're mentoring people who are now on it. So I think it's potentially going to be a bit harder for you. You know, when I think of everything we've looked through there and about the content, you may not have notes from the talks from last year. But if you're not in touch so much with what they've been hearing that month, and also the fact that we now have small groups where they have set questions, there's a lot of extra stuff going on that we're wanting to help the mentor sessions with. So if you're not hearing or not getting any of that, in one sense, they are at a disadvantage. So maybe we need to.
My view, that's a fair point. My view is there isn't that much difference, honestly. I don't think there's that much difference in terms of the teaching content on the Holy Spirit month. The exercises are a bit different, and we have done a bit more on the Bible study. It wouldn't be too difficult to give you those questions. To say, what we did, we brought small groups back in, because it basically just gave us an arena to have a discussion on the Bible. So if people are reading Acts. Last year, it was very, very loose. Some people did read it, some people didn't. And whether they did or they didn't, there was no vehicle to discuss that anyway. And so what we decided was that it was a good thing to give a few sensible questions on the book of Acts so that you could just have a discussion in a small group for half an hour before we did the teaching the next week. And I think it's probably worth giving those questions out. But yeah. Most of the teaching content is actually the same. Yeah. Is actually the same. Well, we've allocated the mentors, haven't we? We've already allocated all of the mentors.
Yeah,
so.
If I look at the list, I'll figure out if it's not actually here.
Yeah. It's definitely worth giving the questions, isn't it, Sharon? Because
yeah.
That'll show you then what we've been asking them in the small groups.
Because they're being told as well that as they go through those questions, some of them take personally.
Yeah, fair point.
Can I mention something as well? Do you know you talked at the beginning about books and you said there was only about 10 sold? I think people maybe can't afford to buy the books.
Mm.
And what I was doing last time was buying the books and lending them out. So maybe
that's nice.
If people have got books and have read them,
yeah.
Would it not be a good idea if they maybe donated them back in and somebody else could? Are you making money for the church? I don't know what you're doing.
Well, we lose money.
You lose money.
We lose money, yeah. Yeah.
So maybe win-win situation, if you've read the book, and people know that week you're going to be reading whatever it was, I can't remember now, walk across the room, you could lend that to somebody or bring it in for somebody to borrow.
It's a really good idea. We maybe announce that, sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't force them to, and I know some people have bought them to lend them on to others as well, which is a nice thing. But if any of you have got books that you think, actually, I'll give mine back, then start with you guys. It's 20 of you here. If 20 of you did that, we'd be covered.
Yeah.
If you've got the books in the first place. Was that helpful?
Yeah, it was great.
Very helpful.
All right. It's not about you. It's about them. And the moment it isn't about them, it goes off the rails, really. But nor are you to be abused. You know, you're willingly giving up. I don't know if you're willing, but you're giving up your time to do this, and we won't have you disrespected. Okay, and that can happen in a number of ways: attitude, lack of preparation. You know, so if you get there and they've not done a thing and they've just rocked up, all right, then it's not going to be a great session, because they're going to spend the first hour with you saying to them, "So, Tom, how did you find the first module then?" First module. I haven't got my folder. Okay. All right. What was it about? Something to do with the river. I think there was a deer involved somewhere. You know, I'd me personally, being the kind of person I am, I would have that session with them And at the end, I would say, so, Tom, how do you think that session went? Do you think that was a good use of our time, that 2 hours? How about for the next one, you do a bit of prep and bring your folder, read through your notes, and you'll drop me a text that just says, I've got my folder the day before or something. Don't have to condemn them, but just sharpen them up a bit. A61 is a two-way street. We're giving, but they've got to give as well. For the last half hour, I want to do another couple of exercises just to get you into it. So, team one, Rosie, Tom G, Laura and Sharon. You're there. Don't go just yet. Team two, Mark, Stu, Chris, Keena and Joe over in the... Chris, Ali Kath, Chris Dodsworth. Don't go just yet. Team three, Marion, Chris, Tom, Terrier, and Chris. Team three over there. And team four, just over in this corner, please. Carolyn, Pippa, Vicky, and Santa. Let me just, I'm going to give you a case study. You've got 15 minutes to answer this. Okay, group one, your case study is this. Brian really enjoyed the Holy Spirit month. The subject excites him, and he knows there are exciting things ahead. He remains a little confused about some of the gifts and is concerned that he doesn't have any of them yet. He's been praying about it, but nothing has happened. What might you discuss in his mentoring session, and what targets would you set him? Group two. Susie did not enjoy any of the evangelism month. She found the sessions boring, dry, and not very relevant. She didn't bother going to the last one. How would you approach the mentoring session, and what areas would you look to explore? Team three, Trevor has attended every module of A61. He never misses church, and for the last 3 years has received everything the church has to give him. He wants to get more involved in ministry, but does not think getting involved in serving is appropriate for him. What tool would you use to open up the discussion? How would you approach the issue of serving? And team four, Carol desperately wants to understand and use her ministries and gifting. The problem is she has no confidence at all and panics at the thought of doing anything public. Serving is a much safer option. How would you handle this challenge? And what can you do as a mentor to assist her?